This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Big day at CPAC today. And even Eliana Johnson, in her piece on NRO, actually said that Chris Christie got a standing O. And among the other people, we got Ted Cruz, and we got Donald Trump, and we got Rand Paul, Marco Rubio. I mean, a lot of big people speaking today as they kick off their annual event. So who's best? Who's got the most energy? According to polls, it's actually Rand Paul at this moment. Does that mean much? Anyway, Horace Cooper is with us, adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research, co-chairman Project 21 National Advisory Board, and legal commentator, left-winger Mark Levin is with us, not to be mixed up with the great one, Mark Levin. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having the show today, Sean.
Who do you fear the most on the left, Mr. Levin, in terms of a presidential candidate?
Who do I fear most?
Yeah.
I don't fear any of them. They don't seem very fearful to me. I'd love to see Donald Trump. I'm glad that you're considering him. That's the guy I most want to run against.
Okay. What sarcastic reason why? Because I like Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump would be a good governor of New York.
I think Donald Trump is a clown, so we obviously have a disagreement, but that's okay. You nominate him, and I think we will easily beat him, no matter who we run, Hillary Clinton or anybody else.
You know I think's a clown? I think it's really sad that America, Horace, has such a weak president, such a high unemployment rate, such a high poverty rate, such a low labor participation rate, such an incompetent person on foreign policy. I think, you know, if you want to use the word clown, let's just say ill-equipped to do the job, then it's our current president. It's a mess.
Amber Hour comes to mind, a great insider analysis of what's been going on. This president had brought no skills to the table when it came to understanding how markets operate, how businesses have to meet payrolls, how the international world operates. All of the kinds of things that are critically important when you're going to be the leader of the greatest nation on the land, this guy didn't bring to the table. He didn't even know where all the bathrooms were in the United States Senate because he was only there for a short time before he suddenly announced that he wanted to run and be president. Now, we're a great nation, and we are willing to give him two tries. But the latest numbers show the American people are bitterly, bitterly disappointed.
Well, I think the polls show that, and the polls refer to that, and the polls couldn't be any more clear.
I think the election shows that the American people elected and reelected this president. I know the right wing doesn't like that. But the difference between Barack Obama and the Republicans is President Obama has a number of ideas on things to
for
do.
The first time,
infrastructure
for
and the job spending.
Let me help you out.
Republicans just want to say
then
no.
How do you explain this? For a first time in a Fox News poll, fewer than four voters in 10, 38%, approve of the president's job performance. Now, don't give me talking points. Why have the American people now grown weary? I would argue the following. It's because the jobs that he promised didn't come, that we have the lowest labor participation rate since 1978, that we have 50 million Americans on food stamps and 50 million Americans in poverty. I would think that the president who came in with such high hopes has disappointed many people, and I think the polls now reflect that. Is there any truth to that, or are the American people stupid in your view?
I think the American people are definitely disappointed by the major income inequality we have in this country.
I think the American people very much support
raising the minimum wage, as President Obama has proposed.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the problem when you're talking to a liberal. And this is an illustrative moment here where we can educate you about how to deal with liberals. I ask whether or not the American people are right in their perceptions, their declining confidence in the president, and he starts talking about income inequality. He's now in the sixth year. I'll try again, Mark, of his president.
You talked about unemployment.
Mark, you got to listen to the new.
Mark.
All right, we're now in the sixth year of the Obama presidency. He promised he'd turn things around. He promised us the summer of recovery. He promised us shovel-ready jobs. He said he'd get us out of the recession. And now all we have to show for it is $7 trillion in new Obama debt, projected now with his new budget to go to $25 billion in debt. And I'm asking, and the American people are turning on him, what part did he play in this? Why are his policies not working?
Well, his policies, of course, were never enacted because the Republican Party, the party of no, was determined to make him fail, even if they had to drag America down with it.
It's really sorry that
we never had a party to work with us to actually make solutions.
But okay,
I got enacted.
All right, put him down again. I got the talking point. You see, the talking points are very hard to deal with, Horace, because the president got a stimulus through. We had our summer of recovery. We had our shovel-ready jobs. He spent all the money. And nothing good came. He got his health care plan bill, and that's a jobs killer. And the only thing they can go back to for the first 4 years, it's blame Bush. Now we're going to blame the Republicans in general.
Yeah. People need to remember, and I think most of the people who can't make their house payments go by the car dealerships and see that, you know, they're never going to get that car that they thought they could, or take their kids to the schools and say, here's the college you're going to go to. We might let you go to community college with some loans that you might not be able to pay back once you graduate. But all of the aspirations that they may have had, they've been having to put on hold for the last 5 or 6 years. In 2008, however, Mr. Obama and the Democrats generally and most of the liberals had made a bunch of promises if we would agree to go in the reverse direction, to destroy the economy, take over health care, hand out, instead of the great reforms that we did with welfare, hand out all kinds of non-mean-tested benefits to people, regulate, interject all aspects of this, and also we had a reset button internationally. We're going to sit down with the Iranians and all these other people. Now the chickens literally have come home to roost, and people are seeing that. And yes, when the pollster calls them and says, what are you upset about? What are you disappointed about? They had very, very high hopes. I call them unrealistic expectations, but sometimes you just call them dreams. And they thought that the promises that the president was making were actually going to work. He had 2 years unchecked. We were so demoralized on the right that he was just given a free rein. And it's just a question of what bad idea did they not implement during that period. The American people corrected that. In 2010,
let me ask.
Do it again in 2014.
Mark, let me ask you a series of yes or no questions. Is Barack Obama responsible? Oh. This is a yes or no question.
Is he responsible for what?
I'm asking you a series of questions. So follow the yellow brick road and listen and watch the bouncing
ball. Okay, so he gets to talk for 2 minutes and I get yes or no. All right, I understand. That's how it works. Yeah, Go ahead. Is he responsible for the things he does? Yes, he is.
All right, is he responsible for the fact that he's given us $7 trillion in new debt?
The $7 trillion new debt comes from lots of sources, as you know.
Is he responsible?
Right? Some of it under him.
What percentage?
Some of it under George Bush.
What? Hang on.
Some of it from the U.S. Congress.
All right.
What
percentage of that amount is his fault?
Is his fault?
No.
Is he responsible?
You know,
let's go with that.
I think that the debt that is incurred to build highways and bridges, yep, Obama wanted that. I think the debt's incurred.
I asked you, give me a percentage, no. And you don't answer. Is he responsible for 75% of the $7 trillion, 80%, 4%?
Let's say 20%.
20%. Okay, so only 20%. All right, so he's president now in his sixth year, $7 trillion in new debt, and you're blaming Republicans. All right, next question.
By the way, the new debt, as you know, has gone down every single year.
You got to follow the bouncing ball. You got to stay with us here. I know it's hard for you to focus. I know it's hard to get off your talking point sheet, but this is not a talking point program. Okay, so I got the next question: is he responsible for the fact that since he's been president, we've had a nearly doubling of the number of people on food stamps?
Right.
Is he responsible for that?
Doesn't provide for people
okay.
anymore.
Let me ask you: is he responsible that under his watch, his presidency, those numbers have nearly doubled?
Well, I think food stamps are a good thing for people who are starving.
I don't believe in starving. I don't want anyone to starve.
I asked you: is he responsible for that, or his? Are his programs responsible?
No, the Republicans who refuse to raise the minimum wage are responsible for the fact that so many Americans are on food stamps.
Okay, now let's...
Because if they would raise the minimum wage...
Stop. I didn't ask you. I'm just asking you yes or no questions. I don't need your talking points. I got it. You're a talking point Democrat. We all understand that. All right, so is Barack Obama responsible that he promised the American people if they like their plan that they can keep it and 7 million and many million more are going to lose it? Is he responsible for that lie?
Well, first of all, it's about 1%, so your numbers are way off.
Let me help you out, Mr. Talking Point. It's 7 million people. Is he responsible for his words that he made repeatedly? If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. Is he responsible for breaking his word?
Or 12 or 13 million
Hang
people
on.
Will get it.
So Mark, I'm asking, is he responsible for those people that he promised? Is he responsible for breaking his word?
President Obama is responsible for the net increase in health care. Yes. Some will win, some will lose. And the net increase.
Okay. But did the president, let's talk about the people that are going to lose. Right now it's at 7 million and it could go as high as 100 million.
Where are you getting your numbers, Sean?
Okay. Follow the yellow brick road. Listen, watch the bouncy ball.
You can make up whatever numbers you want.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right now, 7 million Americans have lost their plans. Is he responsible for not fulfilling his promise?
Okay, unicorns can fly. Are you responsible for that? I mean, you can make up whatever numbers you want, Sean. Some people will lose their plan. It's nowhere near that amount.
You know, I got to tell you something. Mark, don't take this wrong. You are the quintessential brain-dead liberal. Now, if you
ask
me...
What's your source, Sean?
If you,
what's your source?
What's
your source?
You're giving me a headache. Follow the bouncing ball, okay?
Well,
okay.
No disrespect. All right,
now follow
to the brain dead or the liberals.
Yeah, I know. The bouncing ball is this. I will tell you...
I just insist on facts. All right,
I'm giving you the facts. You're just incapable of hearing it. So here's the fact. I think the Republicans are timid. I think they are weak. I think they have abandoned and not articulating a vision for the future of the country. And in many ways, they think they're going to ride the Obamacare failure to electoral success, and that's their strategy. And in the process, I think they've become a lot like the Democratic Party. All right, so there's Sean Hannity, conservative, having intellectual honesty, criticizing people that he would rather be supporting, but they're not a good opposition party. The difference between me and you, and the difference between me and Horace and you, is that it doesn't matter. You are incapable of acknowledging simple truths about your own party because you're blinded by ideology.
Sean, I've attacked my party all the time. You want to hear what I attack my party for?
No, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. This is why you're not a good guest on radio. We probably won't have you back. Because you're incapable of just giving us an honest dialogue. We're just looking for honesty. When I ask you a simple question, when the president says, if you like your plan, you can keep it, 7 million Americans lose their plan. You can't say that the president broke his word. That's a problem to have you on the program to discuss something. It's a problem.
To accept something is true and then argue from that when you won't give me a source. Now, if you gave me a source, we could look it up.
Do you read a newspaper?
Where you get your 7 million?
Do you read a newspaper? Do you ever read anything? Because besides your talking points, because it's everywhere. Every paper, every newspaper in the country is reporting about how people promise to keep their plan are losing it.
Some people will lose their plans. The way,
but that's not what the president
did. It worked as of 2010.
But that's not what the president said. The president said, "If you like it, you can keep it."
And if you had a plan in 2010, you could have kept it.
That's not what the president said. He said, "If you like it, you can keep it." Period.
I agree. You should have explained it better, but it was technically true when he said it because in 2010.
Oh my! Now we're going back to what the meaning of the word is. Oh my!
Plans, as you know.
Horace, I'm trying to wake him up a little bit, but you notice with some liberals, you just can't do it.
Well, I will echo your remarks that there are a bunch of Republicans in Washington that just simply aren't prepared to go out and explain a lot of the good ideas and visions that people like Ted Cruz are able to really articulate well, people like Mark Rubio, etc. A lot of others want to just sit back and ride on the incompetence of Barack Obama. I prefer to have something positive to sell. But to his point, I have to say it's devastating just to admit that this administration, if the number is 100,000, if the number is only 8, that you went to people and lied to them and said they would be able to keep their policy if they liked it, and then decided, you know what, I know that's not true, and because I'm going to help these people over here, they're just going to have to deal with it. If I went into a neighborhood of 100 houses and said, you know, we got to help some of the people that live in these homes. Oh, and you and you and you, your homes are inconvenient. We're bulldozing them down. That would be unjust. That would be unfair. But what would be worse if I went in and said, we're going to help you homeowners. And don't worry, if you already like your house, you can keep it as is. That is BS
that we help other people that would otherwise healthcare are going to get health care, and it's exciting because then they can live when they would otherwise die. That is an amazing, wonderful thing. It's not universal care. which works in 35 other nations, which is the gold standard, which is the best option. But it means that tens of millions of Americans can see a doctor for the first time in their life. Ask poor people in Kentucky how they feel about seeing a doctor for the first time in their life.
Universal healthcare does not work in 35 other countries. They're all looking from the U.K., Germany, Spain, Canada, to making significant
reforms. They live longer than we do,
system.
And they pay half the cost. It absolutely works in those countries.
When the Democrats had control and the liberals were running the show, why didn't you push that plan?
Because
it's terrible.
It. Do you remember
it's worse
that?
Than the one
the
that's already in place.
We have 60.
It's just very hard to think that as a country we can get anything done when you have people that are so rigidly ideological. Hannity.